And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the devastating news that his head football coach is leaving the New England Patriots. This guy is very famous to the show from the standpoint of other guests constantly reference this man. He is the great TJ McMahon. TJ, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Mark. It's been a while, man. I've missed it. I've missed you on the show. I'm glad to be back.
Today, it turns out, your boy, Bill Belichick, coach of your beloved New England Patriots, is parting ways with the team. What is your gut reaction?
You know, at first I didn't see it coming. I thought he was going to try and break Shula's record, and I thought he'd try and do it with the Patriots. But in all honesty, it doesn't necessarily surprise me. You know, we've been without Brady for a few years now, and the Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi isn't necessarily working, and I just don't know what the answer is, and I think maybe he's just ready to move on and try and go after that record, maybe with something that's in a better position to make that happen, and it's just not us right now. And I thank him for everything. I mean, he was the best coach of all time, hands down. But it was shocking, but not shocking, if that makes any sense.
When you look back at Belichick, what memories do you think about with him at the Patriots?
Well, it's interesting because when he kind of took over, you know, I was in college, and you know, I was watching a lot of college football, and my Patriots hadn't been good for a long time, and I was still a fan, but I wasn't there, you know, I wasn't watching every game like I did for the last 20 years. But I remember the Super Bowl against the Rams really put us on the map, beating the greatest show on turf. I remember the Panthers. You know, I remember those. It just kind of got me back into pro football, and it really, you know, it changed my life, but it changed what I did on Sundays for a long, long time. And, it's sad. You know, I wish that him and Brady kind of gone out together. You know, they gave us, I think it's 24 years he gave us. And I mean, what more could you ask for?
Do you have a favorite Patriots game of all time?
It was 2013. We played the Broncos, and I want to say it was the last weekend in November, the first week in December. Liam was like a week old, and so I remember we were down like 28 points, and I was frustrated. But when you have Brady and Belichick, you never give up. But I just remember I had a baby that was sleeping, and he was home for a week, so I couldn't yell or scream or do anything. So I'm sitting here in the living room watching, pacing behind my couch like I normally do when we're in trouble, and sure enough, we came back and won that game and beat Manning, and that's probably my favorite game.
I brought this up the other day, and we're here with my good friend TJ McMahon. The snow game with the tuck rule, that started it. It's so famous, that game. Just so famous. And I agree with you. When they took on the Rams in that Super Bowl, they were 14-point dogs, and no one gave the Patriots a chance. And I always remember, you get the ball 2 minutes ago, and remember, Madden and some are all like, oh, just go to overtime, and Brady goes down the field, and you kick the field goal. I think about that. I'm trying to think, like, what's a great – I think you took on Peyton Manning multiple times in the playoffs, and Belichick's defensive scheme shut down Manning. I think about that. What about you, TJ?
Well, and it's interesting because he always had a scheme. Like, he always had a way to, you know, whether it was Harrison or somebody, he always had a way to take out your best target. You know what I'm saying? So Manning and Harrison, I mean, I think at that point they had the record for the most, you know, receptions between a duo and everything. Yeah. And Belichick just had a way of shutting that down. He would take away your number one option. And just like, you know, he would put, I remember he puts cornerbacks on Kelsey. You know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And Belichick, I mean, you can say that we had Brady in that offense, you know, won a Super Bowl. But I tell you right now, the defense kept us in all those games. So Belichick will go down as the GOAT of coaching in the NFL, but he'll also go down as the best probably defensive mind in the NFL as well. I mean, he's just brilliant.
He was the defensive coordinator for the Giants under Parcells. When they took on, the Giants took on the Buffalo Bills in that first one, you know, the first of four for Buffalo, Belichick's the one that came up with the defensive scheme that shut down, which was an amazing offense by the Buffalo Bills. I know this is like really old school talk now, early 90s, but Belichick was the man. All right, How many times did you see the Belichick-Brady team play in person?
In person? Let's see. Twice in Miami, once in Tampa, once in, and twice in Jacksonville, including a Super Bowl.
So five. What was it like, TJ, seeing your Patriots in the Super Bowl? That was the game against McNabb and the Eagles. I remember this.
Yeah. And it was a game, to be honest, you know, we didn't know if T.O. was going to play. Mm-hmm. So going into it, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. You know, we've been here before. And, you know, and then it didn't end up being a cakewalk. And I remember, you know, a few adult beverages in, I'm thinking, like, wait a second, I need to slow down because I need to be into this game because this is not what I thought it was going to be. So it was an experience, and you'll never forget it if you – I mean, I'll say this, even if it's not your team in the Super Bowl, the whole experience is pretty awesome. If you're ever if it's Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville, whatever, and you're around, definitely go. It's a really cool experience.
I think about, okay, so 2006, you're in Indianapolis for the AFC Championship game. You have the big lead. Manning comes back and wins, and you guys are devastated. So then you go out and get Randy Moss. And then that's the 18-1 season. Do you remember that moment when you lose to Manning and the Colts?
Yes. So, I mean, I almost think I remember those more than I remember the wins.
Yes.
You know, because the helmet catch, obviously, I mean, that broke our hearts. And then, you know, everyone talks about the helmet catch, but in the second game that we lost to the Giants, that catch that Manningham made, like over the defender's shoulder, like a foot off the ground, like I remember saying, like, there's no way we're going to lose like this again. There's no way that we can lose like this again. And sure enough, it happened. And the funny thing is about that game, if you remember, Brady was given a limited amount of time to come back because we were down.
Yeah.
And he led a game-winning drive. Well, it wasn't the game-winning drive because of Manningham's catch. But you can't say that was on Brady because he literally he took the lead with his drive, and then we gave it up again.
There was the game. Okay, you're in the AFC Championship game, and you notice there's a pattern here. You guys were always in the AFC Championship game. It was just like for 20 straight years. You were right there. The game against Denver, in Denver, the Broncos barely beat you in that game to go to the Super Bowl. And remember, like, Gronk, what happened? He got, like, triple teamed in the end zone. You almost stole that game as well, TJ. I remember this.
Well, that was the Von Miller game, the way I remember it. I mean, Von Miller was just a man among boys. I mean, we just could not block him, and he just took over that game. And, yeah, I mean, Gronk, it's hard because Gronk gets held on every play. I mean, he's a man-child. And so, you know, but it was unfortunate because I did feel like he got messed with. But when you're that big and that strong, I mean, it happens on every play. You'd be throwing a flag every play. But, I mean, that broke my heart. But, you know, it's hard to say we should have been in every Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, we were there so many times. But, I mean, sometimes you're not the best team on that day, and that's the way the NFL works. You know, it's not a series where you can – go down 3-0 and come back and win 4 in a row. You can't do that in the NFL. I mean, it's if you don't play your best that day, you're done. One of my other favorite games is, do you remember we were playing the Ravens and Belichick came up with a scheme to just keep making weird people eligible?
Yes. Is that okay? Because there's back-to-back title games in Foxborough against Baltimore, I think. This is like over 10 years ago, because one of them, the Ravens guy misses the field goal, right? And then, yeah, there's that game. And then Ravens come back and beat you the next year. Which one's your game then?
It's the one we won the game. It's the one where he kept doing like tackle eligible, like over and over and over. I mean, I think it was like 6 times in the game. And Harbaugh kept saying like, oh, that's not legal. And he had, you know, he had a fit and whatever else. But I just remember, you know, Belichick is always trying to come up with something, you know, and everyone, I'm going to say this and I'm going to take flack for it.
Right.
He always found a way to bend the rules to benefit his team. And people always say he cheated and whatever. We're not going to talk about that today because I think it's malarkey. Yeah. But he just found a way to, within the rules, to make things happen differently that you'd never seen before. And the Ravens had no idea what to do.
Where were you when Drew Bledsoe got injured in the Monday night game?
So I was in college, and on Monday nights, a lot of times we would go out to the fraternity house and a bunch of us would get together, and it was more of an excuse to, you know, have a beverage and play poker and whatnot. But I remember when the Patriots or the Bucks were playing, or some team that I actually, you know, knew a little bit about, because like I said, I wasn't big into pro football. But I remember, and everyone's like, oh, your boy's down, you're never going to be good, you know, and I just remember thinking, like, remember hearing about this Brady guy, you know, like, let's see what he's got, you know, and I, you know, had nowhere near the optimism then that I end up having in the middle of his career, but I just remember thinking, like, oh, there goes that, you know, we had been bad for so long, and then we came back and went to the Super Bowl and got beat by the Packers, but we're like, oh, maybe we're coming back, and then that was it. And then little did I know that was the beginning of a dynasty.
I always think about this with the first one. So you win the Tuck Rule game. Then you go to Pittsburgh. You take on Cordell Stewart. It's crazy to say. Yes, and the Steelers. Brady leaves the game, and Bledsoe comes back in and leads the team to the victory. And the 2 weeks leading into the Super Bowl, there's this feeling of, well, is it Brady or is it Bledsoe? I remember this stuff. It's how wild it is. Trying to think of another one. Go on.
And to say, I always thought about that too, because I always think, like, okay, so, you know, you had probably 5 years of Bledsoe being great, and then he goes down, and then, you know, Brady, the Tuck Rule game, and, you know, he plays. How do you not bring back Bledsoe for the Super Bowl?
I know. You gave him the gigantic contract at the time. He was a veteran.
And I'm thinking to myself, like that one simple move, just saying, you know what, Bledsoe's ready to go. We're going to go with the vet here. You know, it is the Super Bowl. I mean, that would have basically curtailed the whole thing.
Yeah. Remember, then Bledsoe goes to Buffalo the next year. And I remember, yeah, like, I think they beat you. They beat the Patriots in the opener. You're like, oh, this is crazy. Because remember, you don't win the division in 02. You don't. But then 3-4. See, it's funny with the timeline now, you looking back, and you know this better than anyone. So you win 3 out of 4 years, but then you don't win for a while. You don't. You don't win a Super Bowl until, ooh, now I got to think of this. Who did you... And then, because, okay, you win the 3 out of 4, then you get Randy Moss, you go to 07, you don't win the Super Bowl. Then in 11, you go back, you lose to the Giants again. Then in the teens, you start winning championships. So it was a little gap there before you're winning Super Bowls again.
Yeah, it seemed like a gap, but you got to think, I mean, what, we went... In the Belichick-Brady era, we went to 9 Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So if you really think about it, I mean, it was almost like every other year.
Well, you're always in the AFC Championship game. Always. You're always right there in the Final Four. That's what made it so remarkable of a run.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, a lot of people just say it's, oh, because we played in a garbage division and we always had our way and da-da-da. We actually have a better record against the rest of the NFL than we do against our division. Because when you play the same teams enough, they start to learn things and how to combat things. And then we also have the thing that we always end up seeing to play Buffalo in Buffalo in December.
Yeah.
We always seem to play Miami in Miami in September. And, you know, I've been to, 2 Miami games, and I think we lost them both. So, you know, it's everyone thinks it's because of the garbage division, but he had just as good a record against the rest of the NFL.
You guys won that Super Bowl against the Rams, the last one. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. It was, I always remember this, it was 3-3 going into the fourth quarter, but Belichick knew, he figured it out, and you won that game. But, 28-3, buddy. Is that the crowning moment of this run?
It's hard to say no. I mean, but it's funny because this is going to sound like every cocky New England fan for the last 20 years. Hmm. But literally, I think I was texting you, and I think I said, you know, we it's halftime.
Yeah.
And I say, if we get the ball back, if we can score 7 on this opening drive, it's game on. I said, if we come out here and stall, it's over. But I just think that Brady, I guarantee you that Brady never thought, even down 28-3, I don't think that there was a moment in his mind where he ever thought, I can't win this game. And I think that that's because he knew he had a Belichick defense behind him, and he knew that they were going to come up with something to make changes like they always do at halftime. And they came out and they put on a show. And, I mean, the Edelman catch, I'll never forget that. You know, I mean, it was just, that was a game that I remember almost whole drives of that game. Now, I can't remember my own name sometimes, but I can remember stuff like that. And it's things like that that I'll never forget. And it's, you know, I was going down the resume of being a Patriots fan. And it's like 24 seasons, 9 Super Bowls, 6 wins, 17 divisional titles. He went 266-120 with a 30-12 postseason record. No one will ever touch that.
No, it'll never be touched. Never. I love the documentary where it talks about, you know, Tom Brady getting drafted and the 6 quarterbacks or whatever it is, you know, before him in that draft who were drafted. And they show Robert Kraft, and when they're in the war room, and Belichick's like, hey, that Brady guy's still on the board in the 6th round. And Belichick said, let's draft him. I think that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Like, Belichick, it's a match made in heaven. They need each other, and they became this great dynasty. Do you feel that way, TJ?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think, too, you know, you're never going to have a guy like a Tom Brady. I mean, Peyton Manning, but they were the two guys that, you know, yeah, they had the physical things that they needed. They had a rocket arm. They were accurate. But the reason Brady and Belichick, I think, were so successful is because they were both absolute students of the game.
Yeah.
And Brady would just, like, he would sit in on defensive meetings sometimes just to see what Belichick was coming up with so that he could see that in other teams. And I just think that you have a guy that just knows the game. Like, you think about a high school football coach. Yeah. Here in Brevard County, you think of Coco's, you know, defensive coordinator, like, and you think they know football, and then you think about how much, if they know football, how much a guy like Belichick knows football. And it's just, it's really sad that he's leaving. It's going to really hurt because I know he's going to go somewhere else and try and get Shula's record. It's going to be really hard to see him, you know, in a different sleeveless hoodie. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's just like Brady. I have zero bad blood for it. You know, he'll always be the guy. I'll always think he's the best. I have no ill will. I guarantee if he plays for a team that comes to Foxborough, he'll get a standing O like you've never seen.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, you know, hands down, probably the best NFL coach. I know there's some other ones up there, but I don't think in, you know, winning in this time and day or day and time when there's so much skill and so much talent out there and free agency and a salary cap and everything else. I don't think you'll ever top what he did, you know, especially during a salary cap era.
I will say this to you, TJ, as we're breaking down, if you're just tuning in, yes, the parting ways of, see, I want to just say retirement, but I can't. It's parting ways with the Patriots, with Bill Belichick. What's cool about you, the greatest dynasty probably in the history of NFL football, it happened to your team personally. Like, that's your team. And I've told you this for years. Michael Jordan played for my team that I grew up with in the city I grew up with. Like, I know people love Michael Jordan all around the world, but he actually played for my team. And I got to experience that. That's why I can't complain about anything else in sports, because I'll always get to cherish that. Is that how you feel about your Patriots and what you got to see over the last 2 decades?
Well, I mean, absolutely. And it's, you know, half my wardrobe is Patriots gear. I wear it all the time. I still wear it today, even though, you know, we won 4 games all year. I mean, it's just who I am. It's tattooed on my back. I'll be a Patriots fan for life. And my nephew posted today. Man. He said, thanks for the best lifetime of football I could imagine.
Yeah.
Because guess what? He's 23 years or 22 years old. Uh-huh. And he's been alive for the whole thing. His name is Keegan Brady McMahon, named after Tom Brady. So, you know, it just shows, like, I mean, he literally, that was a lifetime, you know, for my nephew. I mean, since he was born, they've been good. And so, but it's, you know, when you're at, and you know this, being in Chicago, if you live in Chicago or L.A. or Boston or one of the big cities, I mean, I can say that about Larry Bird and the Celtics. I can say that about Bobby Orr and the Bruins. You know, I can say that about Ted Williams and the Red Sox. I mean, they've had someone who's in the top five, you know, in the game. But there'll never be, I mean, I love Larry Bird and I love Bobby Orr, but they're not a Brady Belichick situation. And it's hard, it's tough to say that because I love all three, but you know, it's a sad day when you finally have to come to the realization that, you know, they're turning the page and it's over.
Who could even follow Bill Belichick?
Well, so I think, you know, obviously I think they knew this a week ago, maybe more. You know, I think Gerard Mayo's name was being thrown about, but I also don't think they knew that Mike Vrabel was going to be available. So I don't think anyone can follow it. I mean, the shoes you got to fill are, you know, clown shoes and you're a baby. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Vrabel come in, you know, move Mayo up to defensive coordinator, find a young offensive coordinator, somebody that can come in and do, you know, some of this things like, you know, that's new in the game now. But, you know, it's,
yeah,
as we saw this year and last year, it's not going to be a jump right back into dynasty. It's going to be, I'm going to get the experience like I did this year, what every other football team in the last 20 years has had to experience, you know, not being the team.
You'll be rebuilding. It's going to take a while, but what's cool with the NFL, you could flip it. I mean, go look at the Houston Texans. I mean, they're the worst team last year. Now they're in the playoffs this weekend. It's wild. Do you want to do your picks real quick for this weekend? Your official ones?
Sure. I did. My buddy sent me a meme, and I'll send it to you. And
okay.
It's a funny picture, and it's Belichick standing next to Saban when they were coaching for the Browns.
Right.
And it said, "Even the two greatest coaches of all time couldn't help the Cleveland Browns."
Remember, then they lost the team. And they went to Baltimore.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
Cleveland at Houston. Who you got, TJ?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to pick the Cleveland Browns.
I don't think you're crazy with that pick. Miami at Kansas City Saturday night.
All right, so that game was dependent on where it's played. And they're calling for, like, you know, sub-zero temperatures and everything else. Miami's not going to go into Kansas City and win that game. They're talented, and I hate saying that because they're in my division and they've been a rival for as long as I can remember. But Miami does not have the – I don't even know what to call it, but they don't have it to go into Kansas City and win that game.
Steelers and Bills, Sunday.
Again, another team from the AFC East. I'm gonna go with Buffalo, though. I think the Steelers have gotten better, but they're not there yet. And Josh Allen's gonna win that game. People give him a lot of crap for turning the ball over a lot this year, but he's still a really good quarterback. And I think they have a great defense. And I just don't know that Pittsburgh has either the offense or the defense to keep up.
All right, this is an interesting game: Green Bay at Dallas on Sunday afternoon.
So I thought about this, and the only reason I know much about this is somehow on my fantasy team, I end up with Pollard and Jeudy, and they have been blowing me up all season. So I hate to say it, but I just don't know that Jordan Love's ready for the playoffs, and I think Dak's had enough letdown in the playoffs to see that he's ready to turn that page. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Cowboys.
Rams and Lions Sunday night.
So talk about a team that was never there and all of a sudden is Detroit. I just, you know, that game's kind of a weird game. The Rams, you know, they weren't good and they have, you know, we faced them in the Super Bowl and then they kind of fell off the planet. And they've kind of come back. They've lost, like I thought once they lost Akers and a few people, they'd be gone, but they've, you know, managed to staying around, but I still think Detroit's going to come in. They play in a tough division. They've had a great year. I think that's Detroit's game to lose.
The hardest game, I think. Eagles, Buccaneers, who you got?
So, you're in Philly. I mean, so that's a swing right there.
No, no, you're in Tampa.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Wow, I completely... Yeah. All right. Well, I'm still going to go with it. I'm still going to go with the Eagles. I hate them. I hate every team from Philly.
Okay.
But I just don't know that Baker Mayfield is, you know, is ready for that. He's just not. I mean, he is what he is, and I know he's got good numbers, and everyone's still down on him because he's Baker Mayfield, but I just don't think he's ready to take down the Eagles in the playoffs.
Those are his official picks. I like it. And I like hearing you talk about your team. Because I've known you for a while now, like a decade or so, and I just think all these big games with the Patriots, and the one that really stands out for me, and I'll end with this, when you were at Kansas City, and you stole that game in overtime, you took it away from Kansas City, just, you're like, not so fast, Kansas City, we're still the Patriots, and you scored in that overtime, and you broke their heart. That was a great win by your New England Patriots, TJ.
And I remember that very vividly because I remember a lot of people were trying to put Mahomes in the Brady category at that point.
Yeah.
And I seriously think Brady got the ball at halftime, or I mean in overtime, and he's like, all right, kid, you're not there yet, and I'm going to show you why.
Yeah.
And then
with Rex Burkhead in overtime.
Yep.
My God. TJ.
But it's funny you say Rex Burkhead because it wasn't like we ever had that star, you know, the Randy Moss years, we didn't do well, but you know we always had that Danny Amendola, that Julian Edelman, that Rex Burkhead. Like you know we always had the James White. You know it was never the big name. It was just who was available, who was open, and who was hot, and that's how we won games.
I always remember like Troy Brown would play defensive back sometimes. Like what? It would just work.
Troy Brown and Julian Edelman both played defensive back at some time.
Okay, wait, real quick. Like, Antonio Branch was like a star for you guys in Super Bowl MVP. Then he leaves and he falls off the planet. So he comes back to the Patriots and then he's good again. It's so wild. Run. TJ, thank you so much for your help, man. Have a great day. All right.
Mark, it's my pleasure. It's good talking to you. And we'll have to do this again sooner rather than later. Thank you, sir.